Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm glad you could tune in. And hopefully you had the opportunity to join us last Saturday when my special guest, Will Wynn, who's with me once again here in the studio. Good morning, Will. Welcome back.
Good morning. My pleasure again.
We're going to continue our discussion and really turning our attention to, scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality? In terms of Scripture in both the Old and the New Testament, we know a lot about the subject matter. And last Saturday, Will and I turned our attention to specifically Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which are often referred to as God's blueprint for human sexuality. We took almost the entire program on that, on Genesis 1 and 2, didn't we?
There is a lot there.
There's a lot there.
A lot to chew on.
We're going to continue on this morning by turning our attention to Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, which states, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" To paraphrase that, and I've shared many times on a broadcast, that in terms of faithful followers of Christ Jesus, more specifically in terms of sexual expression, in God's eyes, we only have one of two options. Number one being, really what we just read, a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another as a marriage vowed state, till death do we part. That's option one. Option two, again, really revolves around a question, and the question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period. Now, I believe that's crystal clear in God's word, but a lot of men and women today are really challenging that, aren't they?
They certainly are. And of course, it's an issue that is not new. When Jesus is addressing the concept of marriage, the understanding there specifically is that God creates male and female.
Yes.
And then he tells them to be fruitful and multiply. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't know how two males and two females can be fruitful and multiply. So contained within God's command to be fruitful and multiply in a conjugal relationship of a man and a wife, but there's no room for something else. And this is, of course, what's so incredibly difficult, is that when we look at the gay community and those that support the homosexual thinking and the LGBT agenda, they are constantly looking for some sort of specific scientific information that can verify what they think, which is there are other genders other than male and female. They've never found a DNA for anything else. And most recently here in the last few days, Phil, I saw a story come up out of the state of California, and this is where it gets so diabolical. It's how it is influencing children. The gay community and the LGBT community are working down into elementary school, into preschool, doing things that are trying to embed within their little minds, those little soft, empty sponges that absorb so much, that God's word is really not true. They don't say that, but what they do is, there's a school district now that is going to present a curriculum to little kids that says there are 15 genders. Hmm. 15 genders. Now, I mean, not only scientifically is that nuts, but it's also biblically crazy. It's opposed to God's word. And not only that, it doesn't make any common sense. Where are we going with this kind of thing? The permeation of the sinfulness of human sexuality has just gotten into every corner of our society. We talk about the affirming the truth rather than the culture. This has gotten to be much more than just a little simple he said, she said, whatever. In fact, when I start to talk to people, even to you, I preface what I say by saying, listen, you're going to be talking to a Bible-centered Christian, because there's a lot of varieties of Christianity out here that are not biblically centered. They don't have a biblical worldview as a basis for their Christianity. I don't want to give my opinion. I like to think that I'm intelligent enough to be wise, to be knowledgeable, to try to be a good counselor if I need to be that. But my first caveat is to say, okay, I hope I can be wise for you. I hope I can produce, give you knowledge and something that will help you. But I'm going to tell you this, that my words, my wisdom, my understanding is nothing compared to the Word of God. So I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to give you Scripture.
Yes.
I want to give you Scripture, which Jesus declares in his prayer in John 17 to be the truth. And not only just the truth, but it's a truth that sanctifies, makes holy in our lives, not only through the working of knowing the text, the word itself, but also the workings of the Holy Spirit within me.
Yes. If we're truly to understand human sexuality and the holy boundary lines that we are to endeavor to live within per God, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, clearly we are a fallen race, and the fall has marred every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. We are sexual beings. That's how God made us. Now, that's not all of who we are, but our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. And can you think of a better area of the enemy of our soul to attack? And the devastation and the carnage is widespread. When we veer away from the truth and the authority of God's word, we can bring horrible consequences our way because of our rebellion. And that's what I'm seeing on a daily basis today, widespread regarding this whole subject matter of same-sex attraction. Man thinking himself that he knows more than God. When you start entertaining that false belief, you're setting yourself up for a lot of heartache and trouble.
A lot, Phil. In fact, we can extrapolate the issue of human sexuality sinfulness into the issue that I think has taken the headlines recently, which is abortion.
Yes.
Children being produced in sexual sinfulness.
Yes.
That the woman decides that she doesn't want the child. Therefore, she will find permission, which now comes from the New York state government, from the Virginia state government, as they try to put through, from the California state government, and many of the state governments that are passing legislation to allow the killing of babies even after they're immediately born.
Yes.
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. Think of we talk about the Holocaust that occurred during World War II to the Jewish people. We're looking at a Holocaust that is in the millions and millions and tens of millions of human beings who became human at the moment of conception. And their little hearts started beating somewhere around 18 weeks because they can detect it. I thank God for my youngest son and my daughter-in-law. They're expecting their second one, their mm-hmm. second child.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter-in-law is such a sweetheart. She's such a delight to us. She gives us a phone call and she says, I'm going in for my next sonogram. You want to come and see your new grandchild? I mean, it's amazing, Phil. And if people would do this, in fact, I think one of the remedies for trying to help girls escape from aborting their children is that they take them in and do a sonogram. they literally show them. They can do a fourth dimension sonogram even to listen to the noises of this little child that's growing, developing. Listen, the conception begins the human life, and what happens in the womb is just a mere part of the development process and the development timing that God has ordained within his creative work. When the child is born out into this world and takes his first breath, the Bible refers to him as a living soul. But that's just another step in his development, which will be ultimately to end up dying the first death and hopefully coming to an understanding and a revelation of needing a Savior, that they will come to God, Lord God, through Jesus Christ in the way God has provided. The first death should be nothing to Christians. That's a good word. Second death is the one you want to worry about. That's the one that's the scary part. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, God has all of this planned, everything in detail. It's so profound. It's so remarkable. And yet we get people that decide to, on their own, in some sort of a human intellect position, actually with no scientific basis at all, to justify them doing something that is deviant away from God's creative plan. And that's not just his creative plan. It's his specific plan for you.
Yes.
For everybody.
Absolutely. Clearly from Scripture, we know that we are a fallen race, and the fall has marred every part of our experience, which includes our sexual preference. Now, once again, contained in God's Word, we find over and over again that even when we get off course in life, even with regards to sexual and relational brokenness, through our relationship with Christ, we can find ourselves back on track if we are willing to set ourselves in agreement with God the Father. And God has a lot to say in his word about what is permissible and what is not in terms of sexual expression. And there I would submit today is where a lot of men and women are getting severely off track in life, because we take measure in our own hands. Literally, we take life in our own hands and say, well, I may even know what the truth and the authority of Scripture says, but I'm going to do life my way. And God says, go right ahead. But you need to know you're going to head down a road of a lot of heartache.
That's right. And too many who did it their way found out that they followed the wrong way.
Absolutely.
When Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by him. And men literally become reprobate. They have a depraved mind. The scary part about that to me is that God describes that through the Apostle Paul in the end, in Romans 1. That somehow when they continue to reject what God's plan is, they continue to reject what God's creative work is, they continue to reject what human sexuality is in terms of what God has planned it to be and designed it to be and created it to be and brought it into being. When they continue to reject that, men laying with men, women with women, and the perversion that occurs when that happens, that's very interesting. It says God gives them up.
Yes.
Now, God gives them up, but he doesn't give us up easily, I don't think. But he gives us up, and you think, well, they die. No, they don't die. They don't die. He gives them up to a depravity and a reprobate thinking that literally stops them from being able to rationally and carefully and logically and knowingly understand the things of this earth and the things that God wants.
Yes.
And there are, I don't know how many millions there are out there that way, but it's crazy. When I think of how, you know, we've talked about it before, how could it get any worse? Well, it will. I mean, from an eschatology position, it's going to get worse and worse. And the question is, of course, how do we stand up against that? How do we deal with it? How do we continue to minister the truth about God's creative work? Hopefully we have opportunity. I know we've talked about it. You have a pulpit. You have a ministry to be able to do that. Very powerfully, God's opened the door for you in the Caribbean. That's incredible. I think sometimes as people have been critical about Facebook, it gives me an opportunity to zing Scripture in there. I see posts and I see stuff coming in. I don't want to give my own opinion. I want people to see what God's Word has to say about that issue. Oh boy, I get killed with the responses, but I really don't care. At least I got a chance to put the word into the environment, put the word into the discussion, put the word into the comments that I get likes too,
yes.
Because there are people out there. We're not alone. God has a remnant. He's not going to leave us without a defense and without the ability to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the only weapon actually of the weapons of our warfare, as we look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. But boy, it's a battle, brother. It's a battle.
It's a battle, and heaven knows. I mean, our sexuality is a potent part of who we are, and left unchecked, it can sit in the driver's seat of our lives. But thankfully, gratefully, through Christ Jesus, we can have new life.
Yes, we can.
And Scripture is very, very clear, and I'll offer right now 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which says, "And this is what some of you were, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." We see very clearly in this particular passage, and more specifically, 1 Corinthians 6:11, yes, change is possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God hasn't changed. He is still redeeming. He's still delivering men and women
Absolutely.
That surrender their lives fully, totally, and completely into Christ's hands. That is the truth and the authority of God's Word.
It is. And here comes the culture. AB 2943.
Yes.
For out of the state legislature that they were trying to push through, that said, no, you can't counsel someone who is struggling with same-sex attraction. You can't counsel them that they can be changed. You can't counsel them that they can be redeemed. You can't counsel them that they can be delivered. I mean, it. What can we say? I said we're in a warfare, and it's coming at us from all sides, and we need to be prepared. As the Scripture talks about preparation, it says, gird up your loins.
Yes.
And we need to be literally from where we understand, we have to not just stay in our understanding, but we need to be prepared and to continue learning and continue to be ready. It's just like when Peter and John went before the Sanhedrin after Christ rose from the dead, and they were there, and of course they had been commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. Well, their response was, who are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to obey you or obey God?
Yes.
And that was the end of the argument. There was no more argument.
And once again, God's word is crystal clear, specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, which states, homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable and change is possible. Because the verse says, and this is what some of you were.
Exactly.
Speaking to past tense. So we know from Scripture, thousands and thousands of years ago, before the Bible was even really then in print, men and women struggled with same-sex attraction, but they got out. Well, how did they get out then? Same way they're getting out today.
Right.
Keep reading that passage through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, allowing Him to be Lord of their life, which includes Lord of their sexuality.
I know. And I wish the temptation ended at that point, because it's a reality that we need to understand that God is working in us. We
yes.
are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear before God to understand who He is and that He understands what we're dealing with. But we need to learn how to resist the enemy very clearly in the spirit. Resisting the enemy is a simple process. It says you resist the devil and he flees from you.
Yes.
No problem. It's the flesh that's the tough part. And this is where the difficulty comes into ministry, I think, to homosexuals and to those that are caught in this sexual depravity of all varieties, is that it's not a spirit. Spirit is involved in it, but it's much more in the flesh area and in the mind thinking area. How do we deal with that? Well, I'll tell you one way you don't deal with it. You don't cast off flesh. We don't cast away flesh. You know how you deal with flesh? Kill it.
Yes.
Okay. It's tough. It's hard. How do you kill it? When crazy thoughts come into your mind, say, I refuse to think that. I'm not going to think that garbage. I'm not thinking that. The old man is not going to take control of my thoughts. I'm not going to do that. A crazy thought comes in. Maybe when you're sitting in church, maybe you're worshiping, and some goofy thought comes into your mind. Say, I refuse that thought in Jesus' name. I'm
Which
not going
to
think
Scripture
that.
Which is why Scripture tells us what? To take every thought captive?
Exactly. Exactly. It says you have the mind of Christ, but then there's the part that's difficult in that the devil, unfortunately, has seen our behavior in the past, and he's seen how we've acted out our sinfulness of the past. And we have to be prepared. We have to be equipped and ready to deal with that, to say, wait a minute, I'm not thinking that. I'm not your Satan. I am the Lord God Almighty. Yes. When I was going through some of the stuff back in the 70s, I remember it. I was struggling with panic attacks and walking out in the neighborhood in the middle of the night and the anxiety and stuff, you know, and I couldn't even pray. It was so difficult, because you get to a certain point where you're struggling with this. And I just reach over and I touch my little wife and I just say her name. And she was instant in the spirit. I mean, she was literally in the middle of my chest saying, devil, you can't have my husband.
Wow.
You can't have him. You can't have him. And he didn't got me.
Now, I relate to that, because I did not know for some years after my surrendering my life to Christ and life had become new, I was talking with my mother. And at one point I looked at her and tears were just streaming down her face. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, you don't know. I said, I don't know what. She said, you don't know how many times I got flat through the power of prayer in the enemy's face. And I said, I don't care what he's done. I don't care how many times he's done it. In the name of Jesus, you can't have him anymore. My point, watch out for the prayers of Mama.
Exactly. Exactly.
But the fact is, we are a fallen race.
Yes.
And the fall has marred every part of our experience, including our sexual preference.
Yep. Yep.
So we are indeed in an intense battle.
And, you know, out of that same chapter, Phil, comes the fact that it says, we were in darkness, but now we are walking as children in the light.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that to the conversation, because just hearing you state that, I immediately flashed back, and I was thinking to myself, my own personal journey. When I began to read God's Word and study it and saw, okay, I'm not stuck, I can go on from here with my relationship with Christ. But we are sexual beings.
Yes, we are.
And our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. And left unchecked, our sexuality can sit in the driver's seat of our life. And that's where many men and women find themselves in trouble. Because, again, our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. But it's not all of who we are.
No, no.
Which is why we have to surrender all that we are into Christ's hands and let him shape us and mold us into the men and women that he really planned for us to be from the beginning.
It is. And it's a process of not only learning about ourselves, but learning about the Lord.
Yes.
And learning what he intends and what he wants. I mean, let's face it, okay, we continue to struggle with temptation. I just encourage our listeners out there, don't yield to that. Understand that repentance is easy. It's quick. It's there. The scripture says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I never will forget when my mentor in seminary went through that scripture, and he said, and don't forget, he said, the word confess there also carries with it the understanding that we need to listen and to hear, because the confession of our sin comes about when the Holy Spirit is conveying to us, communicating with us, there's an area there you need to take care of, Will. There's an area there you need to deal with. And it's not a condemning voice at all, but it's a voice that is saying, but you can repent.
Yes.
And I will cleanse. I'll wash. I'll make new. I'll make
Which
clean.
Is why 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 is so, so critically important to this whole subject matter. The verse says, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were washed, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, which made our sins, which were scarlet, bright red,
exactly,
now are whiter than snow.
Yep.
We were sanctified, meaning we were set apart for God's glory, and justified, meaning we're no longer blamed.
Yep, amen. And the washing, thank God. Thank God we don't just go wash one time.
No.
I mean, this is one of the ways we get tangled in the language sometimes. We get tangled in the present, past, and future tense and all of that kind of thing. Because it's really not correct to walk up to somebody and say, are you saved? No, actually, the process is, are you in the process of being saved? And that would be the answer.
Yes.
Are you overcoming? I mean, that's what the basic word is in this issue about human sexual sin. It falls back in the understanding of overcoming. I was looking back in the churches of Revelation, the seven churches there, and there are at least four that were dealing with human sexual sin. You ever see that?
Yes.
Jesus identified it. He did. He said, easy to take care of. Repent. 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 The thing that's scary to me and makes me want to dig in even deeper and more strongly is that the seven churches of Asia are no longer there.
Hmm.
Sobering thought.
Yes.
I don't accept that for me. And for every Christian listening to us out there, for anybody that ever hears me, I don't want to hear it from you either. We are going to last. We are going to do this until the end. We're not going to give up. We're not going to yield. We are not going to submit to the culture.
Yes. For me, and I know many, many others, especially many who are listening to us right now, ultimately, when it comes to the subject matter of homosexuality, and more specifically, homosexual practice,
yeah,
within the totality of Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New, there isn't one Scripture that positively endorses homosexual practice. Every time it is mentioned, it is always mentioned as a behavior, not unlike many others, that God says no man or woman is to practice. Now, I believe that is abundantly crystal clear, but God still leaves a choice before us in terms of if we're going to be obedient to Him or take life into our own hands. And when we do that, that's where we find ourselves in deep trouble.
Yep, we do. I will mention one thing, and I know that you and I have talked privately about this a little bit. As we go down in chapter 19 of Matthew, the Gospel, and of course, the basic teaching here that we pull, the understanding of marriage being just between a man and a woman, is actually his teaching on divorce, which is an interesting one. But it goes down, and there's an interesting passage down in verse 12. It says, for there are eunuchs who have been so from birth. And there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. There are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. Now that can be confusing to some folks, maybe as you read down through that. And maybe this implies somehow that people can be a homosexual by birth. I'm sorry, that's not what that says. Not at all.
Right.
Because God never makes a specific sinner by birth. He doesn't do that. We will all choose to sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
This tells me, and this talks about the singleness that you and I have spoken of too. Some are eunuchs from birth, literally. They have no desire to marry someone of the opposite sex. Does that mean that God approves homosexual behavior for them? No. He does not.
No.
There are some eunuchs that have been made eunuchs by men. We look back in the culture and the time, and of course there were eunuchs that were within the harems and of the kings and queens and so forth. But the one at the bottom, it says that some have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Catholic Church has messed that up by creating a priesthood that takes celibate vows. We all know what's happened within the celibacy of the priesthood of the Catholic Church. This is a problem. It's a difficulty. There is no approval of homosexuality within this text.
Right.
There is an approval of singleness, which we see Paul repeat in Corinthians when he talks about the incredible force that a single Christian who does not desire to be married heterosexually can be released into the kingdom of God and become a tremendous, tremendous power.
We've always got to come back to the truth and the authority of Scripture. We can have all kinds of intense feelings and emotions that unfortunately can take it down the pathway of life that leads us to a lot of heartache and despair. There's great, great reward in living our lives according to God's instruction book called the Bible.
Exactly. Not the culture.
Not the culture. According to God's Word and the holy boundary lines we're all to strive to live within.
Yep.
I'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in this morning. Unfortunately, once again, we have quickly run out of time. Will, thanks so much for being here once again. Always a pleasure to have you here.
My great pleasure, too.
And I hope that you will tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station, as we continue to turn our minds, heart, and our spirits to the subject matter of homosexuality. More specifically, more importantly, God's still in the business of redeeming and transforming lives through Christ Jesus. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.